Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock, and I'm joined. We are blessed to be joined by none other than Rich Rebar, Lord Reeves from Sharp Football. The Roto Reeves is blessing us on a non-Roto related show, though. We're gonna make some picks against the spread, Rich, which I don't think you and I have ever done on a show together.
No, we haven't, but I always love chopping it up with you. I love that you, because you have unique takes, and I try to bring unique takes to the table. And I've ventured out. Last year was the first year I did more betting stuff at Roto World with Ray Summerlin. You know, RIP Ray Summerlin and the Roto World crew.
Rest in peace, buddy.
But we did a betting article last year, and I did well and caught the bug, and it's rolled over this year. Now, in Ohio, I don't have a place to play still, and this year I found a local guy. So I've been going to a local guy this year instead of playing offshore.
Does your local guy allow you to do player props?
No, that is the one drawback.
Yeah, so that does suck.
But I don't have to try to cash those Canadian checks anymore.
That's so big. Not having to do that is really so, like, and people who have been in the game for a while know, but like trying to cash the Chinese like flower shop check, it's just always a tough scene.
Yeah, absolutely. So I traded off a little bit, not being able to have as much diversity in the player props and some things like first half lines, which I like to bet too. But for the overall comfort level, I will do the trade off until Ohio finally decides to even propose they haven't even proposed it in Ohio, so I've got to wait.
I think it's getting close in Missouri, if not almost already there. But this is a true story. Missouri is the last state where you can't play draft, like the draft app. You're not allowed to do those on your phone.
Really? So where do you best ball at?
I best ball on draft. I have a workaround, of course.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So
That app is too clean, man. I can't imagine.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I can't imagine not being – I can't imagine not being able to do best ball drafts. Like, imagine having to go back to NFL 10s after the draft best ball experience. I can't imagine.
No. No shade to NFL 10s. It's just that the draft product is so clean.
It's so good.
Easy. No right. Emails.
Yeah. Oh, the emails, dude. People don't even – like, people listening to this, they don't even remember grinding draft best ball 10s in, like, 2013. They really have no idea what it's like.
Yeah, the first thing you had to do, go in and turn off those notifications immediately.
Yeah. So the format for this show is we basically kind of follow the super contest. We make our five picks against the spread from least confident – to most confident. You are the guest on the show, so I'm going to let you start your fifth pick against the spread. Who do you have for me?
This is my least confident of the group.
This is your least confident, yeah.
All right, so my least confident of the group is the Saints.
Okay, that was also my number five.
Okay, cool. So we got a little overlap. Do we have a specific book that I use? I mean, I just use the Vegas Insider lines.
Use whichever one is on sportsgrid.com, which I think pulls from the New Jersey books. And right now I'm seeing it at 1 or 1.5.
Cool, yeah. So the reason for this is kind of like an ongoing trend, and it's something I had bet the last 3 weeks against the Falcons, is the Jaguars, and it continued again last week. They have this ongoing trend where they're just terrible against NFC opponents. Since 2013, they're 4-21 heads up and against the spread against NFC opponents. That held true last week. They lost to the Panthers. I also just think the Saints defense is doing what the Saints defense does. They kind of suck for a couple weeks, then figure it out as they go, and they've kind of done that. They're number one in pressure rate. Gardner Minshew's been a great story, but he also has 7 fumbles on the year.
Yeah, it's very – it's like the guy, like, literally cannot hold on to the ball. It's so weird.
I like the Saints. I like the Saints to win straight up. I mean, obviously, if you're betting this game, you wouldn't take the points. You would just money line it. But in the super kind of picks, I mean, we're going to get that point and a half. But I think the Saints win outright in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think basically the exact same thing. I think Teddy showed a little bit more willingness to throw the ball deep down the field, and that was like one thing that was really missing from the Saints offense. I kind of tend to look at these things more from the sense of who do I think is just going to call a more optimal game plan, and you know, I will take Sean Payton over John DeFilippo. So I thought the exact same with this game. It just seems like New Orleans is a better team, and this should probably be closer to a pick. So I like the New Orleans side.
Beautiful, beautiful. I like it. Like we're starting off on the same page.
Starting off simpatico. All right. Fourth most confident pick. I will lead with this one. And man, is it gross and bad. But I think you have to take the Miami Dolphins at home to the absolutely, like, just a bad football team, the Washington Professional Football Team. So what this line is saying, with them being favored by 3 in Miami, or 3.5, is that Washington is a touchdown better than Miami, and I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this game basically has, like, two outcomes. Like, one, like, both teams are, like, fun bad, and it's the objective spot, like, that all these guys can get over, and we go over that 41 game point total.
Yeah, like, 35-28, there's a pick six, Keenum had, like, yeah, totally.
Or it's just, like, both these teams are really bad, and it's,
10-7.
Six, yeah, like, 16-13 or something like that, which I think is probably the more probable outcome. But yeah, I mean, Miami has, you know, had an early season home field advantage, and, you know, we're getting later into the year in October, but you know, down in Miami off a bye week, I mean, like you said, and you're getting a hook at most places on it.
Right. Yeah, and this is also a game where this is like not a casual bettors game at all.
No,
like they're not taking Miami. No one wants to lay the points with Washington, and no one wants to be in a position where they are wagering on the Miami side of the ball. But I mean, you know, basically all that has to happen is Josh Rosen just has to not be like abjectly horrible. That would probably take care of the spread.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are you at? Do you think Josh? Where are you at on him? What do you think of him?
It's hard, man. I mean, he just has. I mean, he's one of these guys that's one of these quarterbacks that just doesn't play well out of structure. And so to have two situations like he's fallen into his first 2 years, you know, it's really hard to really judge, you know, what he's done. Because I mean, you put him in an offense that where he could play in structure, we might see different results. I mean, we see that with a lot of guys. You know, it's been like Jared Goff and Derek Carr. I mean, I think that those guys are very similar quarterbacks. I mean, if you were to swap Jared Goff and Derek Carr, I think you would have similar results in the offense that, you know, the Rams have had. And we saw that in the Super Bowl and what's gone on with Jared Goff this year. He's a very similar quarterback. Out of structure is where he struggles. And I think Rosen's in that corollary. You know, and just so that behind that Miami offensive line, just it's doing him no favors, no steel weapons. And then obviously last year we know was just outright, you know, put in a spot that he had no chance to win. But I'm curious to see if we see what happened with Rosen happen with Haskins this year. I'm serious, you know, where they just use the sunk cost and, you know, kind of move on with a new head coach and everything next year. Because they're going to have, a top five pick, Washington will. So I'm curious if we see a lot of similar situation with Washington going that route and kind of pulling the plug on Haskins. Eventually they're going to play him this year, and they're going to get a good look at him. But I'm real curious to see how that plays out going into next draft.
Yeah, I think both of these teams will have different starting quarterbacks next year, most likely. All right, what is your fourth most confident pick?
All right, so I think the fourth most confident is Denver. Denver giving just the -2 to Tennessee.
Yeah, I like this one too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, you're not giving a full field goal. You're getting Denver at home where it's been, an advantage for them to play at home. Early in the season, it's granted, like I said, it's still not like super early in the season. It's not like week 1 through 3 where, you know, obviously, you know, people have highlighted that mile high advantage, but the Titans don't score a lot of points. So, I mean, it's going to be a game where that there's just not, it's going to be in like the 30s probably, like combined. And, you know, Denver is another team that I think it's right around 89% of their games have gone under since the start of last year. It's the highest in the league, which is pretty outrageous, but, they are good against quarterbacks. You know, basically Marcus Mariota has had like two really strong games, and it's coming games where they can just really just set up play action, and, you know, he could really pick apart like a soft matchup, and he doesn't have that this week against Denver, who has kind of gotten their stuff together the last few weeks as well. So, I mean, not giving a full field goal at home. I like Denver in that one.
Yeah, I like the Denver side as well. I like being short Marcus Mariota right now, who has not turned over the ball yet, but has taken a league-leading 22 sacks. And I agree. I like the Denver at home angle. I think Denver most likely is just going to be really playing keep away with Tennessee in this game, and it would not super surprise me if Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay both saw 20 plus touches in this game. And they just, they had 40 minutes time of possession or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can run the ball, man. What's crazy? One of the weirdest early season developments is how adequate Joe Flacco has been. Like, he hasn't, like, been great for himself, but he's actually kept us interested in all the pieces.
He's kept him on schedule, yeah.
And we're interested in all the pieces still, whereas we thought earlier we were like, well, yeah, we have to fade Cortland Sutton. He's not going to make a jump because of Flacco. We're going to fade Phillip Lindsay. We're going to fade the run game. He's been perfectly adequate to keep all this moving.
Yeah, he's been Derek Carr level, basically. Yeah. All right, third most confident pick. I will lead here. The Los Angeles Rams -3 against your San Francisco 49ers. Basically, I think this is a good confluence of team that has run super bad with the Los Angeles Rams and San Francisco 49ers team that has run really well. And my big opinion about this is that I actually think Jimmy G is in the bucket of guys who are okay inside of structure, but when he's forced to be creative or forced to create offense in and of himself, I'm not sure he can do it.
So this is my number one.
The Rams side?
Yes, the Rams side is my number one for a number of reasons. So first is the actual spot is we're getting San Francisco coming off of a primetime shellacking of the Browns, which is why that line got reduced anyways, and the Rams have lost back-to-back games. But also the spot, we're getting McVay on rest. So he's been amazing when his teams have had any type of, any type of extra rest. And then we're getting a spot where we're getting a Thursday night team that played on Thursday against a team that played Monday night traveling on the road. Teams coming off longer rest on Thursday are 11-4-1 against the spread the previous 5 years at home in those scenarios. It's just a really good, objectively good spot. And then when you tack on, the 49ers are being overvalued probably at this point. And then if you want to get into the under the hood on like game facts, I mean, no Joe Staley, no Mike McGlinchey against a team that's second in the NFL in pressure rate. They lose Juszczyk, Booger McFarland's favorite player in the NFL. It's just definitely a spot where I think the Rams bounce back. And it was originally was going to be -5, and it ended up opening at 3. So, I mean, I like that game a lot. It's my number one, most confidence on the Rams side. I can't wait to lay down on it.
Yeah, I agree with all of those points. And San Francisco's very overvalued, and the Los Angeles Rams are undervalued. I still think so many parts of the team that made it to the Super Bowl are still there. And, and Jared Goff he's not that bad, right? And how different is this line? How different do you think the public perception is of the Rams if Greg Zuerlein just makes that kick? You know what I'm saying? This is definitely a public perception line to me.
Yeah, real early this season, I mean, teams off Thursday have run really hot. They're 7-1 straight up against the spread. And then teams off of Monday night this year have run really cold. They're just 2-8 straight up, 3-7 against the spread. So you're getting both of those added on top of, just objectively, like we talked about, I think that the Rams are one, just as good as the 49ers, and they're not, the 49ers are just a little overvalued right now.
Yeah. Okay. So my third, okay, wait, no, I led with that. So now your third most confident pick since I stole your thunder.
Yeah. So my third is the horizontal raid, getting points at home against
the
Atlanta
Falcons. This is my number one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're getting points at home, a short home dogs I always love. The horizontal raid was no longer the horizontal raid last week. I've got to give the Cardinals and Kyler some credit. Kyler had a 10.2 average depth of target last week after 5.0 yards and 5.0 yards the previous 2 weeks, which is why I swerved into that horizontal raid. Now, eventually, they got to start scoring some touchdowns. You and I have tweeted about
You'd really hope so. You'd really think eventually some points are going to start coming.
Yeah, they've kicked 7 field goals from inside the 5-yard line this year. The next highest team has kicked 2.
Zane Gonzalez leads the NFL in field goals attempted and field goals made.
But, I mean, Atlanta is just a travesty right now. I mean, Dan Quinn's the next dude. He's the next Jay Gruden. Like, he's a dead man walking. He doesn't want to relinquish any defensive play calling, but they're not even calling defense. Are they even calling defensive plays? Do we know? I think there's also the Cardinals. Like, we've bagged on them a little bit because we've expected Cliff to do some things that were probably more plus EV. But they've been in a lot of these games that they've lost and have hung around a little bit.
They've been in these games. It has nothing to do with Cliff, and it has everything to do with the fact that he has been blessed with this. Just, I mean, I know the numbers for Kyler are not great right now, but part of that is impacted by the looks like his adjusted yards per attempt is not great, but they just throw every play. And when you throw every play, the incompletions do kind of add up in terms of yards per attempt, but Kyler looks to me like a generational quarterback. Like he to me is checking all of the boxes.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I mean, it's really just been some of the schemes, you know, those 2 weeks and then them kind of losing Christian Kirk. The personnel, the problem, them not having a boundary receiver is a big deal. And you know, I think a lot of us had hoped coming into the draft, Andy Isabella was going to be that guy. That hasn't panned out. Them just not having any vertical speed on the perimeter has.
It was so bad that they had to bring in it's so bad that not having Damir Bird has made a noticeable impact on their offense.
That's
how bad the outside personnel is.
Yes, they need some speed on the outside, but that's the only real thing I think that's really – and obviously the offensive line is a major issue, and we've seen that. Kyler's actually started to take some sacks he probably shouldn't take, kind of in that Baker Mayfield syndrome. Yeah, he checks all the boxes for me too. I think that he's definitely shown – and for fantasy, him running now these past 3 weeks has opened up so much more.
Yeah, I mean, he now has, I think he has over, I know he has over 200 rushing yards, and that's how they won that game against the Bengals. He set up the game, of course, it was a game-winning field goal and not a game-winning touchdown, but he set that up by running. He did not set it up. Like, I think on that game-winning drive, they only, with a minute 30 left, I think they only threw the ball one time, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, he has more rushing yards the last 3 weeks than Lamar Jackson, which is, you know, real positive. That opens up, you know, obviously raises his floor, and then opens up the offense so much more because, like we said, they're limited on their playmaking ability at the wide receiver position. So if they're going to use his legs more, which they didn't the first 2 weeks of the season, it looked like they were making a concentrated effort of not letting him use his legs to start the year. And now that they have, it's opened some things up. And, you know, granted it was the Bengals, but this Atlanta defense is going to really pose no problems, I think, for them.
Yeah, this line just doesn't make any sense. What has Atlanta done to indicate that they should be favored over Arizona? It's just not a very good line to me. Yeah, just like, so one week I did buy into Atlanta on the road against Indianapolis, and I was like, oh, never again. This team is just not good.
No, they're bad, man.
Yeah. All right, moving on to second most confident pick. What do you have for me?
My second is the Vikings over the Eagles.
Okay, here we go. We have a disagreement.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, I don't bet against Mike Zimmer as home favorites. They're already 2-0 as home favorites this season. Since Mike Zimmer's was hired for the Vikings, they have a league best record against the spread at home, 22-10-1 versus the spread in these spots. Also, I mean, Carson Wentz has, like, really sagged off here this past month with no Deshaun Jackson. He's under 7 yards per pass attempt the past 4 weeks without D-Jax. Whether or not we could say D-Jax is a direct line to that drop-off or not remains to be seen. You know, so definitely he's had some players leave plays on the field for him. But the Vikings defense has come out just as hot as it, you know, ever has been. So, I mean, I really think the Eagles are going to struggle to do a lot of things offensively and score points, whereas I think the Vikings can definitely score points. If they come into the game with a similar game plan they had last week against the Giants, they're going to score points against the complete pass funnel defense of the Eagles, and they have the, you know, personnel to actually put up points, you know, with these wide receivers that they actually decide to throw them the football. But yeah, I mean, I just personally just I love Zimmer, betting Zimmer as a home favorite, man. I've just, it's been something I've gone to the well a ton, and it's only a field goal, so I'm going to take it.
Yeah, so I don't even disagree with anything you said, but probably my number one thing that I do in betting is I just like to bet against teams that call plays in a non-optimal way and bet on teams that call plays in an optimal way. And the Eagles are so much closer to calling these games in an optimal way, and the Vikings are so far away from following the math in terms of play calling. Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz is bad. That's a big thing.
Well, I mean, their
here.
Play calling, like Doug Peterson's gone to the dark side. They're like third in the NFL in second and long run rate. It's like, Doug, what are you doing?
Are they ETRing more than I thought?
You were the chosen one, Doug. You were the chosen one.
Oh, he's kind of a fraud, right? He has revealed himself to be sort of a fraud. And, you know, Carson Wentz is also, you know, not that great or whatever. But, yeah, I think that these are two really good teams. And with two really good teams, if it's more than 2.5 points, I think I just take the team. I just take the points, right? So I just take the 3 points.
That's cool. We can't meet eye to eye on all of them.
Yeah. So I don't even like, I'm not, I hate siding with Carson Wentz because I really do think he's so bad. But yeah, I do like I have this, unlike the Fantasy Pros pick, I have the Philadelphia side of this game chosen.
Nice.
So my second most confident pick is the Baltimore Ravens -11.5 against Cincinnati. Basically, I think once Baltimore gets up in this game, it's just going to be it's 7-0 Cincinnati somehow, I could see this going really, really poorly. But once Baltimore picks up a head of steam against a team like Cincinnati, it's going to be game over.
Yeah, and we've seen the Ravens kind of have to play a neutral script the past 3 weeks, and it hasn't gone particularly well. And then negative script in two of those games, the Chiefs and Browns games. But that's not going to be the case here. They're going to be able to do exactly what they want to do here. The Ravens rank first in the league in rushing yardage differential in their opponents, while the Bengals are 31st. I mean, the Bengals are just getting smoked on the ground. And we saw a team that couldn't run the ball at all last week, even if you remove Kyler Murray's rushing yardage, and you just look at what Chase Edmonds and David Johnson did, compared to what they did the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season. I mean, this Bengals defense is just one to pick on in the run game, and the Ravens want to run the football, and they are going to especially want to run it because Marquise Brown and Mandrews are just they're just starting to just pick up injuries every week now. And
yeah, it's
injuries.
Just like, oh, ankle injury, oh, hamstring injury, oh, he banged his knee. Like, it really is every week.
Yep, these two guys. So, I mean, I think that it allows them to just really lean on Mark Ingram and Lamar, and they just really just – I just think they just destroy the Bengals. So I'm with you on that side. It's a lot of points, but they're at home.
That's the thing is it is a lot of points, but I'm a big-time Lamar believer, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that so they smoke this week, though, that they smash just because it's just a simple matchup issue, like what the Ravens do best versus what the Bengals do the worst.
Right. Yeah. So I am very on board with those selections. So there we go. We already ruined the suspense of our most confident picks because we both had them in there. But yeah, I think both of those are so good. Like Arizona at home and Los Angeles at home. I think both of those are just really fantastic moves.
Yeah, I was talking to a buddy of mine about the Rams last night. It's like just how we gotta get on this Rams train this week.
Right. All right, man. Well, there we go. That's they're beautiful. Quick and easy. Thank you. Thank you for the time. Tell people about all the stuff you guys have going on over at Sharp Football.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to check it out, I'm doing a lot of the fantasy side, the worksheet, you know, some DFS stuff. We're doing player props, betting, obviously, with Warren Sharp, you know, and his resume. So definitely go out and check that out. Over at Sharp Football Analysis, and we've you know reduced weekly packages and everything because you know as the season's moved on. So definitely just go over there, check everything out. If you're into betting, fantasy, props, any of those things, we got you covered.
There we go. All right, everyone, we will be back next week, and good luck.